discuss potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Now, if you notice, you didn't hear Neil Miller's, the dulcet tones, the sweet dulcet tones of Neil Miller, or one of my many other co-hosts. That's because, well, we're just doing it a little bit differently. Neil Miller is out in South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, taking care of the film festival front. He got a little swamped with stuff, so I kind of have to punt on this. And with me for the punt is Chris Alexis of 7M Pictures and other sundry things. Say hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
He's been on. It's been a while since you've been on the show. When was the last time you were on the show?
I've never been on Fat Guys at the Movies, actually.
Yes, you had. I think you were on for the Spider-Man 3 episode.
Wow, that was okay. That was like 2 years ago. I don't remember that. You'd think I would remember that, but...
Since you're such a Spider-Man.
I know, pretty much.
So, is that all you have to say about that?
I was going to make a joke, but it was going to be in bad taste, so I decided against it.
Ooh, bad taste. Well, this is a radio segment, so we won't do the bad taste segment.
Okay.
But yeah, we were very different magical studio in the sky back then.
Definitely.
Very, very, very different how things worked. So we're kind of punting on this one, like I said. So forgive us for any technical glitches. But we didn't want to leave our audience hanging because Neil is busy with South by Southwest stuff. And of course, we got spring break coming up next week. So we didn't want to have you, our audience, go too long without hearing me berate my co-host.
Very cool.
Okay. First, before we get started with the reviews, and then later on, actually in the second segment, I'm going to have a different guest on. I'm going to have Kristen Dreyer Kramer from nightsandweekends.com, who you've heard before. And she is going to review a couple of the other movies. But Chris is here to help me review the first movie. But before we get to the first movie, how to get a hold of us. You can visit us on the web at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop up and you can subscribe, write a review, throw tomatoes at us virtually, however you want to do it. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and you can call us on a voicemail at 614-388-8735. We will check with Neil later to find out whether we've had any voicemails. We haven't had any voicemails. We got an email not too long ago, which was nice, because the guy asked me what it was like to interview the guys who did Miss March and then trash their movie. That's what you do when you're a reviewer. You know, you do. And he did ask, does anyone ever ask if you like the movie? And I did have one. I've had one actor once ask me that in an interview, and I really didn't like the movie. So it was very awkward.
Was it Jamie Kennedy when you were in his documentary?
No, he knew I hated all of his movies.
Yeah.
But it was, I'll go ahead and say it, who cares? It was Joan Cusack. I was interviewing her in a round table for Kit Kittredge and American Girl, and the movie was okay. I mean, I'm not an 11-year-old girl, so I wasn't totally into it.
You know you are deep down inside, Kevin.
I am an 11-year-old girl. I have to get in touch with my 11-year-old girl deep down inside.
Actually, am I allowed to be on the show? Because I'm 6 feet tall and 180 pounds. Do I need to have a few more cheeseburgers before I'm allowed to be on Fat Guys at the Movies?
Well, you're sort of a fat guy, PHAT. That's what I always tell people, because I'm losing weight. People say, what are you going to do when you're lean? And, well, I'm never going to be lean, but I'm not going to be you. What did you say?
I'm 6 feet tall and 180 pounds.
Yeah, let's brag about that on radio. Nice. Kevin, I'm 4'10" and I'm 400 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, no. But I am losing weight, and I always say I'm going to change it to Fat Guys, PHAT, which is the sort of ghetto speak for pretty hot and tempting.
Is that even still cool to say anymore?
Well, I don't know, but it's my only, that's my only fallback position, man. I have no other choice.
It's a little 90s.
Well, the heck with you. Get off my show. No, but Joan Cusack in a round table for Kit Kittredge. And beforehand, all the reporters, there were like four of us there, and all the reporters were talking about how they were like, the movie's okay. And then we come in, she's like, did you see the movie? What'd you think? Did you like it? And it was just sort of this... it was fine. It was good.
So when Joan Cusack hears this, is she going to be very upset with you?
I would eat my shorts if Joan Cusack actually listens to Fat Guys in the Movies. I don't think she does.
If I can prove that, would you actually eat your shorts?
Depends on which shorts I have. I may go buy special shorts that are edible.
They have those?
Chris. Let's move on to the movie. This is, you're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing me, which is not an easy thing to do, by the way.
All right.
All right, so the first movie we're going to talk about is Knowing. Nicolas Cage stars as an MIT professor who finds a list of disasters from the past 50 years buried in a time capsule from 1959.
Okay, why are you showing me this?
It's a list of dates.
Every major global disaster for the last 50 years in perfect sequence.
From a piece of paper that's been buried in the ground for 5 decades.
The next number on the chain predicts that tomorrow, 81 people are going to die in some kind of tragedy.
Estimates put the presumed dead at 81. The
prediction came true. It's not coincidence.
Now, Chris, you had a chance to actually see this with me. I want to hear your opinion of the movie first.
Well, it's Nicolas Cage, and it was before March, like you were saying, so I wasn't sure it was going to be all that good, but I didn't know it was directed by Alex Proyas, who did The Crow and Dark City, one of my favorite directors.
And iRobot.
And iRobot, yeah.
Did you like iRobot?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I definitely liked it. And so when I found it was directed by him, I got pretty excited. But after watching it, I was really, really impressed. It's a little bit disturbing, some of the scenes with the people on fire.
There's disasters in the movie.
Well, there's disasters and suffering, and there's a couple parts where it's kind of hard to watch. But overall, I really enjoyed it, and I'll probably rent it on DVD.
Well, good for you. So you give it are you going to give it a sucks or a rocks?
Oh, definitely a rocks.
Definitely rocks. No, not even a kind of rocks, a full-on rocks?
A full-on rocks.
Oh, good for you. Wow. Yeah, I have to agree. You know, Nicolas Cage, he won an Academy Award like over 10 years ago for Leaving Las Vegas. And the way he's going, I don't think he's even attempting to win another one.
Is he doing like National Treasure 3 soon? I mean,
hey, the National Treasure movies are good movies.
They're good, but they're not like Academy Award winning movies.
I mean, we're not talking about movies like Next and Bangkok Dangerous. I mean, he is known for coming out with like one or two real terrible films each year.
True. What was the last really good movie he was in before Knowing?
Last good movie.
What do you mean? Define good movie. I mean, I like the National Treasure movies, okay, and I like Ghost Rider. Did you like Ghost Rider?
I didn't see it. I heard it was terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a cheesy comic book movie.
Yeah, although I did like Daredevil, same guy. I'm like one of the three people on this earth that actually enjoyed Daredevil.
Okay, get out of my studio. Anyways, you know, and this is the thing. I think the weakest link in the movie was Nicolas Cage because he was just pulling a paycheck on this, and there are some just embarrassingly bad acting scenes in there. There's a scene where he chases somebody off his lawn with a baseball bat, and it's like worse than like the jokes people made about Gran Torino. Get off my lawn! You want some of this? And he's yelling. And there are just some terrible, terrible acting scenes. They could have had anybody else play this part. You know, they could have had Luke Wilson play this part. Or they could have had, you know, any I don't know, name somebody who's like sort of like that, you know, run-of-the-mill actor, you know, that would be, you know, like an A-list actor that they'd have in this kind of movie. I mean,
like Owen Wilson?
Like Owen Wilson. Yeah, we're just going to go through all the Wilson brothers. But I thought it did some neat stuff. It's way out there. It's way out there. I mean, it pulls from biblical material and paranormal material and stuff like that. So if you know the history behind some of it, it's actually somewhat highbrow, sort of disguised as a lowbrow movie. But I was fascinated with how they did it, and I thought they made some pretty bold choices. Like I said, it's out there. It's one of those things that's going to polarize people, and I don't know if it's going to find a mainstream audience, but I thought it was actually kind of neat. And I have to say, I was interested all the way to the end because I'm like, are they going to do this? Looks like they are. You know what I mean? And that was, I thought, very compelling.
Very cool. Now, I definitely liked it. Would you call it a drama or an action? Well, not really an action movie, but has...
What would you call it?
I call it a sci-fi thriller.
Yeah,
but I'd say it definitely rocks. And but with that, we got to go to a break. When we come back, Kristen Dreyer Kramer is going to join us, and then later on, we'll talk DVDs. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. I am here. We've ditched Chris for this segment. We've brought in Kristen Dreyer Kramer from nightsandweekends.com. How are you doing, Kristen?
I am doing great. Thanks.
Good. Well, thank you for doing this for me in the last punt effort.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Anything else you want to add to your credentials other than Nights and Weekends?
Also WCBE.
Which is
a radio station here in Columbus. It's an NPR station.
Awesome. Well, since it's such a highbrow station, we're going to be talking about highbrow movies, at least one of them, I guess.
Oh, fabulous. It's March. There are a lot of highbrow movies.
Yeah, that's all we have coming out right now. The first one is I Love You, Man. Paul Rudd is a guy who has no male friends and has had to find a best man before his wedding.
So you're not gonna have a best man?
Here's the thing, Zoe. Peter's always been a girlfriend guy. All his dude friends just fell by the wayside.
Why is it weird that I had girlfriends?
Nothing, we're just saying you never really had a best friend is all.
Well, who's your best friend?
Your brother, Robbie.
What's up?
He's about the coolest guy I know.
So what do I do? How do I meet friends?
If you see a cool-looking guy, strike up a conversation and ask him on a man date.
Okay, you know what I mean?
No.
Casual lunch or after-work drinks. You're not taking these boys to see The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
So, Kristen, what did you think of this?
I thought it was hilarious.
Really?
Can you believe it?
I loved it.
Well, you know, you usually take pride when you disagree with me.
So you hated it?
I don't know if I'd say hated it, but I didn't like it.
Really? Why not?
Well, for me, it was kind of half-baked. I really felt that the script could have been worked on longer. It seemed to me that they had this idea, and they got Jason Segel attached to it, and they said, we better hurry up and rush this through the pipeline before people forget who he is from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. But I just thought the idea was clever, you know, because it's kind of the romantic comedy, except they took the two guys and put them into it instead of a guy and a girl.
A bromance?
Right, exactly. Bromantic comedy.
A bromantic. I think we coined a new term, didn't we?
I don't know. Probably not.
No, we'll have to ask for royalties. No, but that was my big thing with it is and in a way it reminded me of the movie Anger Management. Did you see that? Were you reviewing movies back then?
Yeah.
You don't say that with much excitement.
Yeah, it was all right, yeah.
What I didn't like about Anger Management was it was an okay idea, and then you saw the trailers, and so you saw literally the first hour of the movie condensed into the trailer, and really you were just kind of felt like the movie was marking time. You're like, okay, I know what happens next. I know what happens. Let's get to the parts that I don't know what happens. Mm-hmm. And that's where I just thought, I mean, and it wasn't funny, and there are certain things like here in the movie, they talk to each other to like, they use like weird terms. It's almost like that Rob Schneider sketch with the copy guy in Saturday Night Live where he's like, oh, the Christenmeister, the Christenator, or whatever like that. And
I think that's what kind of made it funny for me, because Paul Rudd is so awkward in the movie that it's funny because he doesn't know what he's doing, and he has a hard time being friends with guys, and he doesn't know how to react and handle it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right about that. It's just, I just found it so annoying. I was like, cause there's this whole thing where they're playing, they're slapping the bass. And there's this, and it just goes on forever. And I wanted to kill him.
Okay. I can see that.
And then the girl, what's her name? Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
She's beautiful, but completely two dimensional. That's his fiance. And
yeah, she doesn't really have a huge role in the movie cause it's not about her, which I'm okay with. Yeah.
So you like the bromantic comedy, and I didn't. I have to say it sucked.
I'm going to say it rocked.
Oh, them's fighting words. Before we go on, I want to ask you what you, because Chris and I talked about this in the last segment. Give us your take on Knowing real quick.
I think it was the atmosphere in it is really good. And I think it was well directed. I think the writing could have been a little bit better. And I think Nicolas Cage probably shouldn't have been in it. But I did like the story, and I paid attention through the whole thing. It held me through the whole thing.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty much what Chris and I said in the last segment too. So, let's move on to the next one. And this was a late ad in the game, because apparently certain studios, who will go unnamed, but they released this next movie. Let's just say it has universal appeal, even though they don't have universal screenings everywhere. They are pulling back on screenings. So
is that Fox then?
Yeah, it must be Fox. No, but it's Duplicity. Julia Roberts and Clive Owen star as ex-spies planning a massive $40 million heist.
Can you imagine living like this? How much do you think you'd need?
20 million?
I was thinking 40.
So what do you have to do to get $40 million?
I took a job in counterintelligence for Birkin Randolph. You're about to make a move. Some new product. Something big.
The very existence of this product must be carefully protected.
My God, he is gonna crush me.
It's a total corporate death match. The competition will do anything to get their hands on this.
What do you think of this one?
I liked it. I actually stayed awake through the whole thing. So,
are you implying that somebody else who saw this movie didn't stay awake?
Yeah, it was the guy next to me who was kind of snoring every once in a while.
Was he a fat guy?
A little bit. You know, he seems to have thinned down a little bit lately, but he was a little bit chunky.
Chunky? Well, like peanut butter. You like this? That's my
That's my rap name, Peanut Butter. It's P-N-U-T Butta, B-U-T-T-A, okay. Apostrophe.
Okay.
You will now refer to me as that for the rest of the duration.
Peanut Butta.
Peanut Butta. You got to say it like Patrick Stewart would. You know, like if I were doing, like salt and pepper, it's Peanut Butta.
Peanut Butta.
There you go. Yeah, that's wonderful. So you like this one?
I did. It's kind of complex and there's a lot going on, but I like that because it keeps me awake. It keeps me paying attention.
That didn't work for me.
No, I kind of noticed that actually.
Well, you know what? It's a nonlinear story. It jumps all back and forth, almost like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Oh, actually, you know what it's like? It's like, did you watch Lost?
No.
No. Lost was doing this where they're like, okay, it was 3 years from now, and then they're jumping back to 1977. They're back and forth, and it's all over the place, so you almost have no sense of time.
Which, yeah, they do a lot, and it is a little bit confusing, but fortunately, they do throw in a few things to kind of let you know when they've changed times, so that helped.
You know what's funny, though, is I fell asleep, or I dozed. Let's just say I took a brief breather, catnap, maybe, yeah. So to speak, and I lost maybe, what, about 10, 15 minutes?
I have no idea.
You're the one who was hearing me snoring. I was asleep. I don't know what happened.
I thought you were snoring through the whole thing, so I don't know. You could have lost half the movie, for all I know.
I don't know. I don't think I lost that much, but what's funny is when I woke up, I was less confused.
Well, there you go. That's a good thing then, right?
I must have just gotten it by osmosis.
Exactly. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I ended up I kind of guessed the ending. I'll say that. I won't say what the ending was, but I did kind of guess it. And it was, the whole movie kind of reminded me of the David Fincher movie, The Game.
Yep. And we were talking about that on the way home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where it's like all this stuff had to work out absolutely perfectly. Like if you saw The Game, it's like he had to jump off a building at the right time in the right moment and like hit 100 stories down this mat. And that's kind of the way this movie was, where it's like all this stuff had to fall into place right. And there's no way you could have possibly predicted it.
Which is true. But I think for me, I appreciate the writing of that, that all of that came together at the right time and that they wrote all the little details together.
Yeah, I kind of refer to this one as Ocean's 2.
Okay. I can see that.
Because there are only two people, George Clooney wasn't.
But one of them is Clive Owen, and that makes up for the other 10.
You know what I have to say? I'm not a huge Clive Owen fan, but even I will say, this reminded me of my thoughts of when I saw Australia. He is a sexy, good-looking man, and he was actually more attractive in this movie than Julia Roberts was.
Yeah, I would say so.
Julia Roberts, she's getting old. She's getting up there in years. Her skin's starting to say. Now, she just came off a baby, right?
She had just had her last one, I think, 6 months before. So, she has a reason to be a little bit baggy. Yeah.
It's a little bit sloppy around the stomach.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's sort of like her face. She's sort of doing the Eartha Kitt thing. You know, rest in peace. You know, because Eartha Kitt recently died. But if you go back and you look at Catwoman from Batman, she was hot. She was a good-looking woman back then. And all of her features just, like, she had big eyes to begin with. They got bigger. She had a big smile. It got wider. I mean, she almost looked like, did you ever see The Emperor's New Groove?
Yes, I did.
That was the voice. She was the voice for whoever the evil witch was, and she started to look like that character where it was all stretched out. That's what Julie Roberts. Her mouth, I think, in about 10 more years, it's going to wrap all the way around her head, and she's going to be like a Pez dispenser.
That could happen. I would like to see that.
I'd love to see that. I would pay money to see that. And then like her eyes. I mean, but her skin just doesn't look good. I don't think she looked attractive. I mean, I think she's just getting up there in years, and that's sadly that's what happens. And Clive Owen, he was better. He was like I said, Hugh Jackman was better to look at in Australia than Nicole Kidman. And I'm a dude.
Well, I didn't think that Julia Roberts looked that bad, just for the record.
Well, I mean, she looked a hell of a lot worse than she did in like Pretty Woman.
True. Yeah, but for Pretty Woman, most of it she had a body double, so there's that.
Well, they didn't like digitally put her head on there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, quick, we got to go for the break, but Duplicity, sucks or rocks for you?
Rocks.
I'm going to say, you know, it's right on the edge. Kind of rocks, kind of sucks. Depends on what you think. Anyways, we got to go to break.
hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are back at Fat Guys in the Movies. And what's funny is during the break, thank you to Kristen Dreyer Kramer for the last segment, for coming in and reviewing the movies that Chris didn't see. But speaking of movies that Chris did not see, we were talking during the break, and Chris actually has seen all the movies from last weekend, right?
Yes, I have, thanks to you, Kevin.
That's right, and there's reasons behind this we won't go into. Not for the public masses to have to worry about. But I think it's funny because I don't think Neil saw anything from last week. Because Neil, well, last week he was prepping for South by Southwest, and this week he's at South by Southwest. And in Austin, which is where he lives now, there's the only things they're showing this week are South by Southwest movies, the festival movies. They're not showing any screenings for the movies that are coming out this week, because they're busy with the film festival stuff. So I just thought it was funny that Chris saw the movies last week. Well, give us a quick rundown on what you thought. Let's first start with Race to Witch Mountain.
I actually really liked it. I went just to go kind of hang out, and you know, I think The Rock's pretty cool, but I was like a Disney movie, but like,
you love him, don't you?
I love The Rock. He is my rock.
You want to get a piece of The Rock?
Oh yeah. No, seriously though, I actually really enjoyed it, and I was actually entertained the whole time. I do have a bit of a crush on Carla Gugino, or how are you saying it?
Gugino?
Whatever, yeah, she's hot. But
she's getting a big forehead though.
A little bit, but I would still take her any day of the week. But anyway, no, I actually really enjoyed it. It was entertaining. Like I think it's like fun for adults too. It's not like a cheesy kiddie movie where like only your 4-year-old would like it. Like, I would recommend Race to Witch Mountain to anybody.
Well, and what's funny is I described it as if Michael Bay made a kids' movie.
That's the constant action. There's no like that pose, you know, that Michael Bay always has.
Yeah, there's no typical Michael Bay. There's no Bad Boys moment, but and the camera doesn't move as much, but it does. It's just loaded with explosions.
Oh yeah. No, definitely a good movie. So I would recommend Race to Witch Mountain to. I recommend it to my parents even.
Wow. To your mom who loves Clay Aiken.
Pretty much. Yeah. If Clay Aiken, if you're out there, keep recording CDs, and my mom will buy like 50 of them. More like 50,000 of them. So your career is fine. I don't have to worry about money ever again. My mom will finance your career forever. She's a
claymate. You know, I'm a little disturbed that you have basically insinuated that both Joan Cusack and Clay Aiken listen to my show.
I'm sure they do. You're a popular guy, Kevin.
I'm taking the world by storm. Fat Guys at the Movies, a national treasure. The most influential voices in film. We've been called that.
That's true. I mean, Kevin, you should be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I should be. I don't know why. We'll talk about Dancing with the Stars in a minute, because I'm going to have something really inappropriate to say later. But what do you think of Last House on the Left?
I actually really, really enjoyed it. I mean,
you loved the rape scene.
I love the No. Well, it was obviously kind of disturbing to watch, but obviously it's a remake, and pretty much everyone knows the premise, but I really like the fact that it turned the horror genre on its head a little bit. It's not like a bad guy going after the good guys. It's the good guys going after the bad guys. And it was a revenge film. I actually was rooting for the killers. I mean, the mom and dad in this one. I enjoyed it really, really quite a bit.
Did you see the original?
I never did.
Okay. Well, one of the things that, and I respectfully disagree with you. I mean, it you say it turned the horror genre on its head, but you don't watch a lot of horror movies. You watch like the very mainstream stuff.
Well, I like Freddy and Jason and like Halloween. I don't like the whole like Saw movies are okay, but the whole torture porn thing, like that's not my stuff. Like the old school slasher movies from like when I was a kid, that's what I enjoyed. The dumb stuff.
Yeah, but you never got into video nasties from the 70s. Last House on the Left was one of them. Hills Have Eyes. No. There was I Spit on Your Grave. Those kind of movies that were the kind of what I refer to as the rape, murder, torture, revenge movies.
Yeah, not so much.
That's what this is. The problem is this isn't as shocking as the one from the 70s. I mean, the one in the 70s was really kind of campy. When you look at it with a modern view, totally campy. I've seen it in a big audience, and I laughed literally nonstop through the movie because it was so goofy and silly, because it was 1972, and it was very independent. You know, it was like made for $17, and it was a little goofy and campy, and it just wasn't terribly well made. It was just, but it was shocking back then. Here, it's no longer shocking, and I have to say, I have a problem. They had a very sort of grisly, visceral rape scene in it that I didn't prefer to see, and that doesn't mean that I don't have a problem with having that as a plot point, but do we have to say, I mean, we could just slaughter kittens and put them on the screen.
Well, do you think it added to the emotional weight? Like, did it make you hate the villains, the true villains more? Did it make you enjoy the retribution more because you were so disturbed by it?
They grisly murdered two sheriff's deputies. They disemboweled her friend. I didn't hate them. I didn't say, like, well, that's okay. But then they raped her, and that made them terrible. No, I was more hating the filmmakers because I'm like, okay, I get it. They raped. There was a rape. I didn't need to see the whole thing. And there was a period of time in the mid-90s where it's just something like rape was in every film. Rob Roy had a rape scene in it. What was that movie? Strange Days had a rape scene. There was this like period of like 3 years where just tons of rape scenes in movies. And I'm just like, that's not necessary to show. You can do it and not have it on. I don't prefer to watch that. And I don't think having to watch it makes a greater emotional impact. I find it just sort of crass at that point. Just as like some people would say the torture porn, we don't need to see somebody get tortured to hate the fact that they tortured somebody.
That's a fair point. But I still, for me, it was emotional. It was kind of just disturbing, and it made me almost hate them more. So it had the emotional impact for me.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's cool. And I don't know. I think part of it is also because the thing is, she's the parent's daughter, and you know, when you become a parent, it's like there was a movie, and it's not Revolutionary Road. It was another something. Our Word Road. And it was the one where Mark Ruffalo played a guy who accidentally ran over somebody's kid. Do you remember that movie?
No, I don't watch anything with Mark Ruffalo in it.
Wow. But no, yes, you do. You loved Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless.
I forgot he was in that. I forgot about that. You're right. I stand corrected.
Gotcha. Anyways, but there's movies. I don't prefer to like. I don't like to see movies where kids get injured because I have kids, and people say, oh, well, that means it's horrifying. I'm like, no, you can do that off screen and you can do it tastefully. And this is the other thing that bothered me about Last House on the Left. And I'm stepping into a potential bear trap here simply by saying what I'm going to say. If you've seen the original, in the remake, they kill this guy and they like stick his hand down a garbage disposal. And that's what kills him. And I told you in the theater, because we went and saw it. Do you remember what I told you happens in the original movie?
Doesn't the wife like start to go down on him and bites his dick off?
Yes, I would have used different words, but yes, is she? Yeah, let's just say she does a very overly effective circumcision on the man. And what's so funny is they didn't do that in this movie, ostensibly because they were afraid they're going to probably get an NC-17 rating, which makes me sit there and think they can do this grisly rape scene and have Sarah Paxton stuffed into the ground, into dirty leaves, getting raped from behind by the Terminator from television. Oh. And they can't have a woman bite a guy's junk off because that's offensive.
That's true. What would be harder to watch? I mean, the rape is horrible and truly horrible, but I think any guy who would see that would just... I don't know. I just make you sick. You curl up and you just.
So it's okay to watch an innocent girl get raped.
No.
But it's not okay.
It's not okay. It's just, I don't know, because guys would just. I don't know. I could feel that. You just imagine happening to them. It's maybe more horrifying for a woman to watch the rape scene because she can imagine it happening to her. Maybe a guy would be harder to watch the circumcision or whatever.
Because the overindulgent circumcision.
Yeah, because you can just like you can just imagine it. You know what I mean? It's just you know, ow. You know.
Okay. Well, I don't. I see it a little bit hypocritical that the we can have rape, but no, we can't have male dismemberment. Then.
I guess that's true.
They did it in Hostel 2. They cut the guy's junk off in Hostel 2.
Never saw Hostel 2, and I'm glad I didn't.
But see, again, this guy was a bad dude. And he killed people, and he cut his junk off and fed it to some German shepherds.
Ouch.
Well, it doesn't hurt once it's off.
No, if someone does that to me, my junk is off, that's going to hurt.
Well, yeah, that's going to hurt, but feeding it, at that point, it's just, you know. But there was no way to get it back. I mean, and they were in, like, some Eastern European country. So there was no, like, John Bobbitt sort of surgical team waiting in the wings.
No, I'm just getting images in my head.
Now, you want to move on. What do you think of Miss March?
Miss March was dumb, but it was entertaining. The best friend was clearly trying to be Jim Carrey. That was just the most obvious. The hair, the speech patterns, the Hawaiian shirt like Ace Ventura. But it was funny. I laughed. I was entertained. I was never bored. So it's not Shakespeare. It's not an Academy Award winning film, but it was like just kind of dumb and fun. So I would recommend paying like $8 for it. But if it's at the Dollar Theater and it's like a bore on a Saturday afternoon, I'd recommend it.
Would you do you think it's going to have a life on DVD?
Not a huge. It won't be like Austin Powers big on DVD, but it'll have some little kind of core audience, I'm sure. Yeah, I would say yeah.
Do you ever watch the Whitest Kids You Know, which is their TV show they have?
Never heard of the Whitest Kids You Know.
It's a sketch comedy team.
Oh, never heard of it.
Okay. Well, then that ends there. Well, let's talk about the box office. Race to Witch Mountain. Now, overall, the box office was down from last year, but that has to partly do with the fact that last year, Horton Hears a Who opened on this weekend, and that one did monster huge business. So that helped inflate last year's March, even though February was big. This was a lower weekend, but still, Race to Witch Mountain did better than expected. It was at $24.5 million. Watchmen came in second. That was a plummeting kind of thing.
Well, that's because I think a lot of people went in expecting Batman Begins or Spider-Man.
Or The Incredibles. I literally had somebody on the radio. I interviewed somebody who's like, now, is this like The Incredibles?
It's nothing like The Incredibles. It's the anti-Incredibles, I would say.
Well, the reason he asked, and because I'm like, I never heard of it. A lot of people ask if it was like The X-Men. But when he said, is it like The Incredibles? And he's like, well, it's because it's real-life superheroes.
Yeah, but no, not at all. This one is, it's not even an action movie. There's some action scenes, but like we were talking about earlier, it's just people talking. Most of it. I mean, I did love Malin Ackerman, and if you're a Malin Ackerman...
No, you loved looking at her. You didn't... Yeah. She did terrible acting.
No, not an actress. I just like looking at her in that like latex outfit thing, and seeing her naked was pretty cool, and you see her like have sex a lot. And so as a guy, as a healthy American heterosexual male, well, that was great. You know, I loved it. But it's not an action superhero movie. It's more of a complicated kind of twisting drama with some kind of bad acting and, well, something I wrote.
You're not selling this movie very well.
No, it's not a great movie. I read the graphic novel before I saw the movie. Had I never read the graphic novel, I probably would have been too confused and not enjoyed it as much.
Okay, that's cool. Well, we actually have to go to a break. So when we get back, we're going to talk DVDs, do a little bit of review wrap-up, and we might go ahead and throw in some box office predictions since we missed that in this segment. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Thank you so much for joining in with us again. We missed in the last segment, we missed the box office predictions. We talked about what won, Race to Witch Mountain, Last House on the Left did okay. Didn't do great, did okay. And then Miss March failed miserably.
Well, I'm not exactly surprised by that, are you?
No, neither am I. And I said this last week, Zach Cregger and Trevor Moore, awesome guys. Really good guys in an interview, they're funny guys. It's just this was their first feature film. So sadly, it wasn't a big hit.
Do you think they have a future?
Well, they still are in The Whitest Kids You Know, so they've still got that show going, and they're going to do a Whitest Kids movie, so that'll probably be better.
Okay, but most people probably haven't heard of Whitest Kids.
No, they're like the kids in the hall from the 90s.
Okay, maybe the movie will give them better exposure.
Maybe. I mean, Brain Candy didn't do a whole lot for the kids in the hall, anyone remembers that. But before we go on, I want to talk about what we think is going to win the box office this week. We've got Duplicity, I Love You Man, and Knowing are the new entries. Which one do you think is going to do best?
I think I Love You Man, just because of who's in it. It's a more of a broad comedy. I think it'll have the most kind of broad mass appeal. I mean, Knowing it's a Nicolas Cage movie that's going to turn some people off. What's the other
one? Wow, that's a pretty bold statement there. You're like, well, it's Nicolas Cage, so people are going to avoid it.
Well, I was in the office today, and I mentioned that I had seen the movie, and everyone rolled their eyes. It was like, oh, Nicolas Cage. Like, I'm not going to see it for that reason. Like, everybody, like 20 people in the office today said the same thing.
So you're basically saying he's getting a reputation.
Clearly. I mean, pretty much everyone I've talked to, I'm like, no, it was a really good movie. They're like, oh, well, it looks pretty terrible, and it's Nicolas Cage. So I would say, yeah, he's got a reputation.
Okay. And what about Duplicity? You don't think that's going to do well?
Duplicity. I missed that one.
Julia Roberts and Clive Owen as spies trying to do a heist.
It might do okay, but...
Tony Gilroy directed it. He's the guy who did Michael Clayton.
That's true, but there's not a lot of buzz about that. Like, I work at a newspaper, and a lot of people, we talk about movies, and people have mentioned I Love You, Man. I mean, it's got Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother and Paul Rudd, who's been in all those Judd Apatow films. And so I think that'll have, the broadest mass appeal. And so I think it's a good date movie. It's a good movie to hang out with your friends. I think it's good, definitely going to win the box office.
All right. Well, I'm going to break with what you say, and I'm going to say it's going to be a horse race between Knowing and Duplicity, because I think Duplicity is what everyone wanted the International to be. And we haven't had a kind of a grown-up sexy thriller or sort of heist kind of movie in a while. And then Knowing, I think, that's the widest opening. And I think that might have the biggest... Now, the problem with I Love You, Man, A, it wasn't that good. B, it doesn't have Judd Apatow attached to it. C, it's rated R. I think those three are going to kind of pull it down. Right now, Judd Apatow is the only one who seems to be able to really zing out the R-rated comedies and do well.
Yeah, what was the last film he directed?
I don't know what the last one he directed, but he was involved in like Pineapple Express, Step Brothers. He was involved in... I don't think he was involved in Tropic Thunder, but a lot of his brethren were, so to speak.
And I heard that is he part of Ghostbusters 3 or not? I've heard
both sides. I have no idea.
I'm looking forward to that. So if you're involved, Judd Apatow, don't screw it up. This is my childhood.
Yeah, because if you like Ghostbusters 2, you're going to love Ghostbusters 3.
I love Ghostbusters 2.
You were like 2 when it came out.
I was 7.
Exactly. You just made my point for it. Let's move on and do the DVD. Now you have to make a whipping sound because we're going to do the DVD roundup.
We're going to do the DVD roundup?
That's tradition. Me and Neil, he always does it. He introduces it, and I have to do the whip sound because we have a real expensive, giant mixing board to do all the sound effects. It's called my mouth.
Does that mean you're whipped with your mouth?
Oh, jeez. Chris, I'm going to have to beat you. We're on the radio in this segment. Okay, so I'm going to just go through a couple DVDs because I just want to just point them out. Punisher Warzone, not as bad of a movie as you'd think. It was actually kind of fun. A decent Punisher acting, except for Dominic West, was god-awful in his role.
What is Dominic West? What's he been? Oh, he was in Desperate Housewives, wasn't he?
I don't think he was in Desperate. He was in that movie you loved with Julianne Moore, the Forgotten.
Oh, I remember. Okay, yeah. Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, but he was terrible in this movie, but not bad. Then there's a couple like DVDs I just want to... Well, also Twilight comes out on Saturday, so I don't know. You'll love it because you're a weepy guy.
I'm a weepy guy. I just got the book. I haven't started reading it yet, but I'll probably read the book before I watch the movie.
Yeah, the movie. I'm going to say it's probably a good DVD. I mean, it's something that's going to do well. I wasn't a big fan of the film, but it's a nice meaty DVD and has a really lengthy, extensive documentary about it, which is actually kind of cool. So the other ones I want to point out: Bolt comes out on Blu-ray on Saturday, and if you buy the Blu-ray, you get the standard DVD in the Blu-ray as well. So it's kind of a nice buy if you want to loaf your way into the Blu-ray format. That's what Disney's doing a lot now. They're going to be releasing Bedtime Stories in a couple weeks, same way. So you can get that on Saturday before the DVD streets on next Tuesday. There's also two TV shows, cartoons. The Zeta Project is a Batman Beyond spinoff about an assassination robot who kind of has a change of heart and wants to turn himself around.
Is Batman even in it?
I think he shows up in a couple episodes, but it's based on the Batman Beyond sort of mythology around it. And there's also Johnny Quest season 1. I love Johnny Quest as a kid. They remade it into a TV show, and it's still cool because it has Johnny Quest going after stuff.
Is Zac Efron going to become Johnny Quest?
I hope not.
I'd heard he was, so I don't know. You get on the internet websites, you're bored at the office. I'd read he would. Not that I follow Zac Efron or anything.
Yeah, you love Zac Efron as much as your mom loves Clay Aiken. Anyways, let's the review wrap up. We talked about Duplicity and I Love You, Man. You can see links to Kristen and my reviews of that. Knowing we both said it rocked, right?
Yes, definitely.
And next week is spring break, y'all. We're going to be maybe covering some Monsters vs. Aliens. It might be a truncated show, but we'll try and put something up with me and Neil. Otherwise, if you want to reach us, it's fatguysinthemovies.com. FatGuys@FilmSchoolRejects.com, and we will see you later. Have a good week. Say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris.